Brothers and sisters, this opening psalm gives to us, paints a picture of a contrast between the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord and the way of the wicked. Verse 6 summarizes this. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how are you doing? How are you holding up these past 2 months? Now, if you had to describe your life in a word, which word would you choose? Is it fine? Okay? It's manageable, perhaps, even peaceful, strained, blessed. Is the life that you live today a blessed life, a happy life? Everyone desires to be happy. Everyone wants to be fulfilled, to be blessed. Anyone can hear the description of a tree and of chaff and want to be the former. But that doesn't always seem to be what happens. For every moment of happiness, it seems as though there is another moment of grief or pain. And here at the very start of the books of Psalms, we find a contrast between two different ways, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. The psalm describes the righteous man as blessed, like a well-watered tree, and the wicked as those who will perish. They'll blow away like chaff. Two ways. There's the way of life, that you live an abundant life, and the way of the righteous. Is that what life today and social isolation is like? Or does it feel as though it is here today and gone tomorrow? The psalm can almost seem naive, immature in how sharply it paints this contrast. After all, which Christian can say that when they live righteously, they're prospering in comparison with the people all around them living in sin? Yet the claim is still made. Blessed is the man. A contrast is described. He is like a tree, but the wicked are like chaff blown away. You see, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, inspired this psalm to be written to paint a picture of a way of life in God and life apart from Him. Two ways. And so this morning, beloved, let's take some time to look at the two ways to live, as presented in this first psalm under this theme and points. Two ways to live. We'll consider first the way of the righteous, second the way of the wicked, and consider them as the way for today. Two ways to live. First, the way of the righteous. The very first word in the book of Psalms is blessed. This is a key word found throughout the Psalms. Here in the first psalm, it's placed at the very beginning. And it's placed there in opposition to the last word of the psalm, to perish. And Psalm 1 is not the only psalm to do this. Psalm 112, which we sang together, it does the same thing. After the opening call, praise the Lord, the first word is blessed, and the last word is perish. There are a few things that we can draw from these two words, brothers and sisters. They also form the theme for this psalm. By extension, the whole set of psalms. Not only are they placed in opposition to each other in their position in the psalm, but the word blessed also begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the form of the verb, they shall perish here at the end, uses the last word, letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So the contrast spelled out explicitly in this psalm is also implicit in the structure and word use of this psalm. And this contrast helps us better understand what it is to be blessed. The psalmist saying, blessed is the man. To be blessed is to be happy, to be filled with joy. And who does not want to be happy? Who does not want to be filled with delight? What does this psalm have to say about being blessed, being happy? It's in opposition to the way that perishes, the way that comes to nothing. If the way of the wicked will perish, will come to nothing, then the opposite of that is to amount to something, to gain, to be fulfilled. We can be reminded of the book of Ecclesiastes, how the author pursues multiple avenues of fulfillment, but laments again and again how empty and meaningless everything is, how void everything is. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's read it together. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is also the perspective we find in this first psalm. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. The psalm also concludes its remarks in the contrast of our text. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. The man who delights in God's law, who loves it and meditates on it and follows in it, is one who fulfills his duty and has his accomplishment. He is fulfilled. He's carrying out the abundant life that God had created him to do. After all, that is how God created us. He created man good and in his image. That means that he created mankind in true righteousness and holiness with a purpose. Mankind was to rightly know God, his creator, to heartily love him, and to live with him in eternal blessedness. Blessedness, happy, content, fulfilled. God saw that all that he had made, and it was very good. The way of the righteous is a way that has well-being in every area of life, something that mankind had before he fell into sin. Look at how the psalmist describes a righteous man in verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. We're now coming into the month of May, and the earth all around us has been waking up over the past few weeks. And our eyes can look outside and see how creation is bringing praise to our God. Beloved, we can see the green grass growing. We can smell the flowers blooming. We can hear the birds chirping in the trees. This is new life. And we can see how good God's world is, even under the burden of sin. Even though it groans from the impact of sin, there is still much beauty that points to the fount of life, our Lord God. So we have an apt analogy here of a tree. It's a beautiful analogy for a few reasons. First, trees are full of life. One can walk through the forests and gain a sense of awe and wonder at the majesty of the life all around them found in that ecosystem. And the birds, the insects, the plants, the trees, the wildlife. Trees endure from year to year, even from generation to generation, enduring, filled with life themselves throughout the seasons, blooming in the spring, filled over the summer, abundant fruit in the harvest season. This analogy reminds us that the way of the righteous is one that is filled with life. The blessed are those who love God, follow his ways, and have life that others do not. Trees are also enduring. They're steadfast. The psalmist does not describe some tree that is struggling to survive in a poor location, but a tree that is flourishing where it is firmly planted. It is grounded with roots that run deep and have constant access to water and nutrients, that will not be blown over like reeds or mown down like grass. Firmly planted. Those who are blessed have a steadfastness in their life that nobody else has. Being firmly planted is not possible without access to nutrients, to good soil, to water. Trees can be aggressive in how their roots search out for water. Their roots spread widely and actively searching out for water. Sometimes they can even cause problems when they clog up drains, tile systems, septic systems, and sewer systems. But because of their access to water, trees grow firm, hard, and strong. A tree with access to abundant water grows and grows and flourishes. It's a beautiful piece of God's creation. And the blessed man is one who has access to abundant resources that provides life. And because it is a beautiful and big and strong, a firmly planted and well-watered tree will produce fruit, abundant fruit, a harvest that overflows. They're productive. They're filled with abundance. Specifically, its fruit is in the harvest season. You do not look at a plant budding in the springtime and bemoan the fact you cannot enjoy its fruit yet. You wait until it has reached its due time before you harvest the fruit. In the same way, the life of a blessed man is one that produces fruit in righteousness, in time, with love and peace and joy. In summary, he prospers in all he does. This analogy, brothers and sisters, is a refreshing analogy that points out who the righteous is, how blessed he is. He's blessed because he is fulfilled. He has life. He has abundant life that he enjoys as a child of God who created his life and sustains it. It's in opposition to the way of the wicked who will perish. Now, the last word of this psalm we mentioned is perish, opposition to the first word of the psalm, blessed. If the life of the righteous man is to have abundant life, to have a fulfilled life, then the way of the wicked is to perish, to come to nothing. The psalmist describes the wicked in stark contrast to the blessed man who delights in the law of God. While the righteous man is like a living tree standing firm, the wicked are like chaff blown away. Chaff is good for nothing. Chaff is the waste product from the harvest of grain. When the grain was harvested, it would be brought to the threshing floor. There, the grain would be tossed into the air, and while the crop would fall back down to the ground, the chaff would be blown away by the wind. Chaff is light. It's useless to be disposed of. The wicked are described in this psalm as those without substance, as those who don't hold any weight. By describing the wicked as chaff, the psalm is saying that the wicked will not amount to anything at all. In fact, they'll be blown away and forgotten. Their way will perish. With this brief comparison, beloved, we're painted a vivid picture of the wicked, a picture of nothingness. Because they come to nothing, the wicked cannot have a place in the midst of the righteous. They hold no weight, no influence. Therefore, they have no place. They're not recognized. For ultimately, that way is meaningless, a vanity, a chasing after the wind. This contrast also means that there is nothing in common between the righteous and the wicked. While the righteous have a fulfilled life, the wicked have an empty one. And without a common ground, they're out of place. They have no purpose in the gatherings of the righteous. They have no place, no right in the places of judgment, the places of decision-making. And this emptiness, this void, this coming to nothing is also part of the reason why the blessed man does not walk in their counsel. After all, if he walked in their ways, he would not have a fulfilled life. He would not have life in the law of God, the Lord and giver of life. If he stood in the way of the sinners, the very way that perishes, that comes to nothing, he would not be blessed or happy. The empty way has no substance in itself, and resorts to scoffing at ways of substance. If a man has fulfillment, he will not scoff. Now, the reason the psalmist can describe the wicked in this way is not because of the material of this present life. After all, anyone can look at the wealthiest of the world. They can see lifestyles that do not reflect followers of God's law. Likewise, those that delight in God's law frequently come into trials and shortcomings. And many wicked people get rich in their greedy schemes and political maneuvering. But the wicked paths are not blessed by God. They have no purpose in life. They cannot be truly happy and fulfilled. The American Constitution affirms life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But for all their pursuit, apart from God, no one is able to find it. It becomes a chasing after nothing. The American dream becomes a nightmare when it is not rested upon Christian foundations. For all the wealth and earthly aspirations that one can strive for, at the end of their days, they can take nothing into the grave. There is nothing beyond today for those who don't believe in God. And brothers and sisters, we can witness this in the way that the world reacts to death. The fear of death and harm causes our Western societies to hide in death. The entire concept of personhood before birth is outright dismissed rather than discussed, so that the life of here and now would not be questioned. Funerals become celebrations of life. Medical treatments and surgeries stave off death and calamity. Everything is to be handled by medical professionals. And when something rises up that cannot be controlled, COVID-19 is unveiling the world's perspective on life and death. This unhealthy fear of death causes entire societies to shut down and refuse to live today for fear of dying tomorrow. And distrust grows, as anyone can be the bearer of a plague that will end your only life now. Now, I do not want to be seen as criticizing any particular decisions being made. Nor am I saying that Christians are to be suicidal and recklessly endanger themselves needlessly. But I am highlighting our society's aversion to death as a great unknown. How is being displayed today? After all, life is but a flitting moment. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Would you not be deathly afraid of losing it? Would you not do everything in your power to prolong your days, your weeks, your months, your years? To seize the day and to make the most of this beautifully brief but ultimately meaningless breath we call life? To blaze a hot a fire as possible until the last of your wood is consumed and your fire is snuffed out. This is the way of the wicked, beloved of Christ. This is the way of life outside of God, the one who created life. It's the life that is ultimately meaningless. For it is a life that does not recognize its creator. And that places it in opposition to the meaningful life of one who delights in God and finds his way in his law. But does this not still seem too cut and dry? Is the way of the righteous truly blessed? Does the way of the wicked only lead to meaninglessness? And when you think of your own life, how do you consider it? Is it blessed, happy, content, and fulfilled? And when someone asks you how you are doing, can you genuinely say that it is going well, that you lead a blessed life? What is the way for today? The first word of the psalm, blessed. Is that your life now? Or do you feel more in line with the last word of the psalm? It's been 2 months of social isolation now. How are your relationships with those that you cannot see and interact with? How about your relationships with those that you are perhaps now seeing and interacting with too much? College, university students, how does it feel to have completed another term? Does this term feel like a proper accomplishment? How about work? For some, there's no longer work to be done. For others, work is being done in a diminished way. For still others, demand for work has gone up along with increased risk. Do any of those positions feel blessed, fulfilled? Or is there a feeling of being stretched thin? This psalm has presented us two ways to live. One way is the blessed way. The other way is a way that will end and will perish and that will lead to nothing. Is this now a choice for us? Did you tune in today's service for a how-to guide for your life? Don't walk in the way of the wicked, but instead follow God's law and all your problems will go away. That's not the message of God's word, and that's not the message of Psalm 1. A blessed life is one in the way of the God who has created it. How man is to know God, to love him, to live with him in blessedness. A life from before the fall, a life that is impossible for us to attain. A life that can only be restored by the Son of God in whom life was created. Psalm 1 does not bring a message of what you must do in order to get yourself a fulfilled life. It's a psalm that speaks of the reality of fulfilled life in God and perished life, death away from him. It's a psalm that reminds us of the one in whom is the way, the truth, and the life. It's a one that points to the fulfillment of the law. A psalm that testifies to the grace that we have in our Savior, Christ Jesus. Jesus contrasted himself with the one who brings nothing in John 10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The way of the wicked brings nothing, but Christ came to bring abundant and blessed life for his people, people like you, people like me. And what is more, he was willing and able to give up everything in his life so that we can have life. He was willing to perish so that we can be blessed. His sacrifice on the cross has brought fulfillment and meaning to our lives that nothing else will ever do. And the law of the Lord points to this blessed reality. And in Christ, it becomes a love. It becomes a delight for us. For in our Savior, we have purpose restored. The lives we live today are no longer doomed for destruction, for nothingness, for unfulfillment. For Christians, there is comfort in both life and in death that we belong. We belong to our faithful Savior. And that our purpose in praising and glorifying the Lord God of all creation, it is a beautiful, it is a fulfilling one that brings perfect blessedness for all of our days. Today, tomorrow, and the eternal last day. This psalm reminds us that the setbacks in this life are not cause for despair. This psalm highlights for us the strength and the blessing that we receive in God's holy word. When we turn away from the counsel of the world, when we stop fixating so much of our time and energy on the decisions that sinners are making, well, when we understand that the skeptics of this world are as empty as those they critique, and when we find source and meaning in the depth of the riches of God's word and who they point to, we find a delight. For all the uncertainty around that's going to happen tomorrow at work or at school or with the government or with our jobs, one thing remains unchanging both day and night. For the psalm has described the blessed man as a tree planted by streams of water. And where do we find water that brings us life? The way forward for us today is found in the word of God, how it points to a fulfilled and blessed life that rests in the one who created us, the one who loves us, the one who gives life in abundance, and the one who also provides meaning to that life. Brothers and sisters, when your eyes are set on the here and the now, and you look through the same lens as your neighbor, when life today becomes the only important element, it's straightforward to struggle, to worry, to lose sight of being blessed. And when your heart, your mind turns to the life-giving word, delights in the beauty of God's law, and sees the righteousness that is yours in Christ, there is a view to blessing. There is a perspective that can find rest and comfort. There is a hope and a confidence that a moment of weariness today pales in comparison with an eternity of blessed communion with your Lord and Savior. The way for today is found in our Savior, a way that starts each day in the same way this psalm starts, by resting in your Savior, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The way that today starts, the way that tomorrow starts, the way that every day starts, including the final and eternal day. Blessed. Amen.